Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I, in Kelowna, recently finished a Advent series through 1 Corinthians 13, the entirety of the chapter, but I thought I'd share with you the climax, the ending, and even though we are at the close of the Advent season, I think you'll find that this is also very applicable as we enter into a new year and close out 2023 as well. And so we'll read the entirety of the chapter for context, but we'll be focusing just on verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I am nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. And now our text. Now we see, but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's sing together, Man of Sorrows, what a name. Man of Sorrows, what a name. Let's sing. I'll read for us again just that one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we come to a very special passage, a passage that I have been wrestling with and meditating on since my senior year of college 12 years ago. Yes, I'm still that young. I hope that this Christmas and New Year's, it is a passage that greatly endears itself to you. In our text, Paul mentions mirrors. And the Corinthians would have been very familiar with this picture because it was one of the main industries of the city of Corinth was to make mirrors. But not mirrors like we think of with glass in them, but rather metal mirrors. Mirrors made out of gold and silver and bronze. And you can imagine that such a mirror made out of metal would certainly not give as clear of a picture as the mirrors that we have today. And so they would have understood that to see someone in a mirror was good and could tell you certain details about a person, but it was not the same as seeing someone in person. We know this when we video chat with someone. Yes, we can see part of their person, but it's not as good as seeing them in person, is it? We are seeing their reflection, but we're not seeing them in their fullness and nearness. And Paul is saying, yes, in the gospel we are truly given Christ. We do see Him as He truly is. But now we only see Him as in a mirror. We do not yet see Him in person. As it were, yes, we get to talk with Him now and see Him now over Zoom or FaceTime, but there will be a day and a time when we will see Him as He is in fullness. And so the Jesus that is given to us is in the Bible is the real and whole Jesus, but we don't see all of Him. We can't. We haven't been glorified yet. We also see in this passage that Paul uses, if you have the really true good Bible, the New King James, you know, and it would have the word dimly in there. We see as in a mirror dimly. And that does get at an aspect of mirrors as well. In order to see in a mirror, you need something. You need light. You know that with your glass mirrors. You know that with your phones. If you're taking a video in the pitch black, it's not going to come out very good. You need light. And so Paul is there again getting at another aspect of the lesser state that we are in this life and the greater state of the life to come. We are given light from Christ Himself and from the Holy Spirit to see Christ in the Scriptures and in our lives, but how much greater will that light be in glory? It's like when you're driving at night. The headlights help you see for sure, but it's nothing like driving in the day when you can see everything around you in clarity. We have the light now to see for sure, but how much brighter will that light be in glory to see all of Christ in His magnificent glory? And you may be wondering, what does this verse have to do with love? Because this is, after all, the love chapter, which is, as we read, this is what Paul has all been talking about. It's love. Well, it shouldn't be too hard to connect the dots here. If you love someone, you want to see them. You want to be with them. And when we are reminded, and what we are reminded of here in striking detail, is that our God wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. And the beautiful thing is that He wants to be with us far more than we want to be with Him. And what we are reminded of here in striking detail, as I said, is that God wants to be with us far more than we want to be with Him. And as you reflect on that, certainly, how vast is God's love for us in Christ, beyond our mind to comprehend and even our hearts to feel. And to come at this at a slightly different way now, one of the great beauties of the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, is that God became man. I know that you've heard that 1,000 times. But just think about the immensity of that. God the infinite became finite. The Creator took upon Himself creatureliness. Emmanuel, God came down to be with us. God came down to become one of us. Think of the contrast between the Old and New Testaments. Remember what Moses saw in God while he was on Mount Sinai. He could only see the back of God. And yet, when he sees the back of God, Moses writes, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" Moses could only see the back of God. Moses. The most important and exalted prophet in the Old Testament. Moses could only see the back of God. Notice that separation, that distance that's there. And yet even as he looks at God and he sees the multitude of his infinite perfections, and his face, just seeing the back of God then radiates like the sun, so much so that when he goes back among the Israelites, they say, "You have to veil your face. It's too bright. We can't stand it." Moses could only see the back of God, and that is what he saw. But he was never allowed to see God's face. And yet, what glory and awesomeness did Moses see on that mountain? This glory is so overwhelming of our God that in the Old Testament, whenever you read of someone coming into the contact with God, even as he mediates and veils himself from them, they fall down flat as though dead to the ground in awe of God. Even the angels, who are created to be in the presence of God all of the time, are created in such a way that they must shield their faces from the glory of God, as you read in Isaiah 6, that the angels must shield their faces with two of their wings. for they are but creatures in the presence of the infinitely glorious God. And yet, brothers and sisters, this is the glory of the Incarnation. God came down. In Jesus' first coming, His divinity was veiled in His humanity for sure. We know of one moment in particular where Jesus' divinity peaked through the veil of in His earthly life, and that was on the Mount of Transfiguration, of course. But now that Christ has been resurrected and ascended, and when we are resurrected and glorified, this is the hope that is set before us. That we will see the fullness of divine glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. He, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Notice there that the fullness of divine glory is in Jesus. And Paul makes this point even clearer in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, where we read, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It is in Christ that we see the fullness of divinity. Now through a mirror dimly, which is certainly far better than what the saints in the Old Testament had, which is why the author of Hebrews starts his epistle in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1 with, "God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds." Jesus is the revealer of God in a far greater way than the prophets ever could be, because Jesus is God Himself. And so in Jesus' first coming, we certainly see the fullness of divine glory, but it's only dimly. But soon we shall see Him as He is, face to face. God is so perfectly mediated to us in Jesus, and we are so perfectly glorified in Jesus, that we will be able to see Him with an unveiled face. That is the glory that awaits us. That we will be able to see what even the angels cannot. But as we think about Christ's first coming, and we do truly see Him as He is, though dimly, we do see something in Him that is magnificent in our passage. Paul says that there will come a day when I will know even as I am known. And notice God's knowing of us is already present. Our full knowing of God is yet to come. But Jesus already knows everything there is about us. This is why Jesus is so beautiful to us. Because he knows everything about us, sin included, and still loves us and is our trusted friend. In Proverbs 18, verse 24, we read, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Who is the friend who is certainly friendly to us and who sticks closer to us, or more literally, clings tighter than a brother? Well, it is, of course, our elder brother and truest friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the amazingness of the gospel, is that the God who is that glorious that even the angels must hide their face, that God is our friend. Even though we have so grievously sinned against him and rebelled against him, the God of all the universe, that God made the way for us to dwell with him in a peaceful, loving relationship forever and ever. Nothing is more beautiful in a relationship and friendship than when two people know every detail about each other. And all their faults, and all their struggles, and all their failings, and all their annoying personality traits, character flaws, and all their sins. And there is, of course, no human friendship in which all of this is known. We certainly it's not possible, because we don't even know all those things about ourselves. But in earthly friendships, it certainly is a special thing when you can open up about some of your most secret and embarrassing sins and failures, and know that the person will not leave you, but will love you still. In fact, will love you more simply because you opened up to them and displayed trust in them. While we certainly can experience that in part on a human level here on earth, we who believe in Jesus will all experience it, do experience it, and will fully experience it in him and with him. You can go to Jesus and confess your most grotesque sins, your most evil deeds and thoughts, and know that he will never love you less, because he already knows it all. For that, brothers and sisters, is the kind of person that he is. The one who knows everything about us and loves us perfectly still. And when you and I reflect upon the heinousness of our thoughts and the grossness of the desires of our hearts, you and I must come to a point where we are filled with wonder of how that is possible. The pastor Alistair Begg, it's one of his quotes that I like because it's kind of funny, but there's a lot of truth in it too. He said, "If I knew everything that was going on in your hearts, I wouldn't preach to you. And if you knew everything that was going on in my heart, you wouldn't want me to preach to you." because we are that sinful. And yet, why are we here? Because God loves us. And that's not just a cheesy bumper sticker. That's the most amazing words we could ever hear. And we know that He loves us. And we know that there is no sin so great that He would stop loving us, because Jesus went to the cross for all of those sins. He already paid the debt to set us free, to live in a life of love and unity with Him. As we enter into a new year, would it not be the desire of your heart to walk closer with Jesus and love Him more, the God who has loved you so much? Brothers and sisters, the God of all the universe, the God who dwells in inapproachable light, is your friend. And He bids you now and always come and see. Come and see the love that I have for you and be filled up with it. See it in my face. See it in the holes in my hands and feet and side. Now with your eyes of faith. But one day with these eyes renewed. This is our hope. This is our joy. This is the love that we abide in every day. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Let's sing to our God Psalm 27, stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalm 27.